This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, and not just The Drive, part of The Drive Tribe now. And if you don't know what that is, go on Facebook, do a little search for Drive Tribe, and you'll find out. I'll tell you more as the month goes along here. Yes, the voice for the U.S. for Drive Tribe, Alan Taylor. But I there's so much news we got to get to. Carl Brower's on the line right now. He is the executive publisher of Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, and Dealer.com. Carl, thank you for being on the show today. And I know you guys have a tremendous amount of news breaking out there. Where do we even start? I mean, the coronavirus, GM and Holden pulling out of Australia and New Zealand. I think we start there because the coronavirus, yes, it's going to have an impact, but is it true? I mean, who's breaking this story? GM and Holden pulling out of Australia and New Zealand? What?
Yeah, it was just announced, earlier this week. And no more General Motors in the, southern equator, middle of the ocean. I don't know, whatever that quadrant of the planet is. No more General Motors
the
over
Pacific
there in Australia
Rim.
And New Zealand.
Right. Gosh.
And it's crazy when you think about it, Alan, because they bought that Holden brand. Holden started making saddles in 1861. Then they started making cars in 1908. And then General Motors bought them in 1931. So we're talking almost 90 years that General Motors has had a presence in the form of the Holden nameplate in Australia. And now no more.
Well, so what are they going to do then? I mean, obviously, they're still going to sell cars there, but it just won't be under that Holden name.
No, they are stopping all new sales operations there. They claim they're going to continue to support the existing models. They'll have parts, and they'll hopefully have service. I mean, of course, they're going to say that now, but we know over time that'll slowly wind down too, at least. But they're not going to have dealerships selling new cars there anymore.
What the living? I got to call Mark Royce. You know, he's the, in essence, the president of GM North America. He used to work in Australia for General Motors under Holden.
He was quoted. He was quoted
what?
As saying, you know, we really like the brand and we like the area and the market, but we just couldn't justify the investment versus the return on the investment.
Wow.
And I mean, that's been Mary Barra's modus operandi for probably about 5 years now, right? We've watched them pull out of Russia. We've watched them sell Opel and pull out of Europe. Now they're pulling out of Australia, and they're also selling their one plant they had in Thailand. It looks like they're getting out of Thailand too.
Wow. This is big news, man. Golly.
Yep.
Wow. I'm going to have to see if I can get Mark on the show. I'm friends with him on Facebook. That's a huge deal. I'd love to know kind of the backstory and hear it from the horse's mouth. You know, it's like, what is really going on? Why would you guys do that? I mean, there's a lot of people that live there. What else, what are they going to buy? They're going to have to go to the competitors. That's not good. I don't know.
Well, what I saw was that their market share, Holden's market share in 2002 was 22%. And this year it was 4%.
Oh! Yeah.
You're losing more than a percentage of market share per year. You know, that's a 18% drop in 17 years. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on except the obvious, right? Which is that there's competition and Holden wasn't keeping up with it.
Wow.
And the other vehicles were more desirable.
Wow. I mean, of course, if you're in the auto industry, this is a much bigger deal than just the average person, but wowzer. Okay. All right. Well, all right, so then the next topic when we come back is going to be, how is this the coronavirus. I was thinking SARS. That's already in the past. The coronavirus. The virus named after a beer. Why did they call it coronavirus? What's wrong with the beer? Oh, I don't know. Carl's got all the answers. Don't worry. You're listening to The Drive. Now part of The Drive Tribe. Go to Facebook and look up Drive Tribe. And you'll find The Drive, within the Drive Tribe. You can start your own tribe. DriveTribe.com on the web also. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with more Carl Brower from Auto Trader, KBB, and Dealer.com.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Listening to The Drive, now part of Drive Tribe. And, you know, Jeremy Clarkson and those guys, that's where it all came from. And now I'm going to be helping out here in the U.S., having a little fun with our friends like Carl Brower. Carl, you got to start a tribe, brother. You got to have like a GT tribe or something, or a Carl Brower tribe within the Drive Tribe.
Dude, I do tribes all the time. Mine are diatribes, but whatever. I've got tribes going all the time.
That's awesome. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Outback. Go where love takes you. All right, let's talk about beer for a minute, Carl. Is it people are drinking Corona beer and getting sick? Is that what's going on? And how is that going to affect the car industry?
No, you got to like watch for that sell-by date on those Coronas, or you'll get all sorts of viruses from them.
I always ignore those things. Now, okay, let's talk about how is this coronavirus going to impact the auto industry? And you know, there's a lot of stuff made in China, a lot of people in China, and China is kind of on lockdown, man. So how's it going to affect us over here?
Yeah, it's really a little kind of frightening because I don't think anyone knows for sure the long-term extent, but as you said, China's kind of like Earth's factory. You know, I mean, the amount of things made there, there's been people out there you might've heard who've tried to like live a life without buying anything made in China.
Great.
And, it was a tough life for them to do that. That's tough to do.
Yeah.
So whether it's cars, whether it's, you know, phones, computers, you know, food, there's a fair amount of stuff that comes from China, and when they are locking down large portions of the country to avoid the further spread of this coronavirus, it's going to have an impact. We've already seen, you know, multiple automakers. I know Hyundai is one of them. I think FCA was another one. We've seen multiple automakers admit that whether it's a full production line of vehicles over there or it's a production line over here that needs parts from over there to keep this production line in the North American continent running, they're looking at shutdowns. Mm. And that's kind of troubling, right? You know, people always say you got an automobile and maybe made of 4,000 parts and you can't sell it if you've got 399 of them. You know, you can say, I got 3,999. It's close enough, right? It's like, no, that one part has to be finished and in the car somewhere, or you can't sell them, can't build and sell the car. So there's going to start to be some fallout from this. It's been going on long enough that I think we're going to start to see it affect automobiles and other things.
Well, it's kind of a sad scenario because, you know, luckily I was over in China a few months ago before all this all came out. And I was over there and I went to a factory. You know, Steve Saline is doing a huge factory over there and with the Chinese government and these investors over there. And they're going to actually have a car called a Saline, S-A-L-E-E-N. And over in China, that's going to be like, Ford, General Motors, Saline. But the factory they built, and it was like they built it in like no time because they want to do business over there, right? So they clear everything out of the way, build that factory. It's like, and I think that's what, you know, is happening with Trump. He's making it to where some of that business comes over here and he's clearing the way for us to do business so that we're not having to go elsewhere because it's so hard to do anything. I'm getting ready to do a remodel in this little rental property that I have. And they're like, you know, it's going to take 30 days to get your permits, you know, 30 business days. It's like, what? I'm ready to go this weekend. Yep. You know, nope. You know, and then you got to do this and that and turn in a million things and pay the fees. And it's like, oh, my God, America makes it so hard to do business. Not in China. Man, you want to do business over there, they will clear the decks. But, you know, you're like you're saying, it's going to have a impact on us. Boy, I wonder who uses the most parts out of China. I wonder what car manufacturer.
Well, look at the brand Tesla. I mean, right? Tesla is a huge brand. It's a global brand. Everyone's heard of them. A lot of them, people consider it the hottest, you know, brand on the planet right now. It's a capital value, total value of the company is greater than Ford and GM combined. And they just completed, Alan, their factory in China with this big, you know, grand plan of starting to crank out models and making hand over fist money because of all the people that want to buy electric cars there. And they've got a lightning quick plant that just went up, as you were describing. And now this happens, you know, so it does give everyone, whether we like it or not, I think it's giving everyone kind of a little bit of a gut check on, look, quit assuming that if you go to China, it's all peaches and cream. It's just unmitigated growth and possibilities. You know, things can happen over there that may or may not happen as severely over in the U.S. if they had a factory based here.
Right. Well, Carl Brower on the line, Kelley Blue Book Auto Trader, dealer.com. He's the executive publisher. He's brought some pretty sad news. I'm playing a little song from Down Under, you might say. GM is done with Holden. Not going to be selling anything in Australia and New Zealand. So they're going to have a Corona beer. Wait a minute. Did I just blow that one? No, the coronavirus. That's what it was. We were talking about the coronavirus. Ah, geez. Let's take a break. I'll only run and hide. Who can it be now?
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars on the 2019 Dodge Charger and Challenger, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in a Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger with available 485 horsepower. So come in to your local Dodge dealer now. See dealer for details. Offer not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 3/2/2020. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our show brought to you in part by the rough and ready lineup of Kia SUVs. Kia, give it everything. They got some great vehicles. I wonder if they're going to be affected by the coronavirus. Everybody is going to be affected sooner or later. Depends on if they get it under control or not. Carl Brower's been talking about this with us. He's from Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, dealer.com. By the way, Carl, I had to go on Kelley Blue Book the other day to find out the value of my vehicle. And I thought to myself, oh, look at this. They have like a, make a bid, you know, some that you guys will put it out there for bids to see if I want to sell my vehicle, you know. So I knew what it was worth. I knew kind of the high and the low range. And I clicked on it, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to try this. I clicked on it, and it asked me some more questions, you know, overall condition, and does it have this, does it have that? It went through a little bit of the same information, but it was kind of double-checking. And then, like, 3 minutes later, I literally got a bid that was almost enough to take the bid, right? And I kind of thought, I'm not ready to just sell it like that. I think I can, you know, maybe trade it in and get more, or maybe I sell it myself and get more. But then it was like, honestly, it's because a 2017 Ram truck that I'm going to sell, a dually crew cab, diesel, four-wheel drive loaded. And the bid was like 43,002 something. And I thought, I could probably get 47 or 8 for it, you know. But it was like, I was surprised. That was a pretty solid bid. Then I get an email from the dealer that made the bid. They're like, hey, do you want to take our bid? And I thought, that's a solid thing. That's a real, not no BS kind of a bid. I mean, you guys put it out for bids. I think that is brilliant because dealers have a hard enough time finding good inventory. They got to go to auctions. And, you know, I have to imagine if you're a dealer, because you work with dealer.com also, if you're a dealer, you want that for sale by owner opportunity to buy that vehicle. So Nice job.
It's working extremely well for us, Alan. I'm glad to hear, unsolicited, just so everyone knows who's hearing this. We did not even plan to talk about this. You just literally sprung that on me. But instant cash offer, ICO is the acronym we use around here, but it's instant cash offer. And it's exactly what you said. People are coming on the Kelley Blue Book site anyways to figure out the value of their car. And somebody smarter than me in the organization here said, wait a second. They're already coming on to get the value of their car. Once they've done that, we know the value of their car. We could share that value with dealers that are in our system. And the person who's trying to price their car to get their value can find a very quick and easy way to get the car sold and gone if they want. So why not give them that option? So we started to crank up the instant cash offer interface, made sure it was available everywhere and plugged in a wide range of dealers. And what you just described is what people have been discovering, dealers and consumers trying to figure out what they want to do with their car. Pretty much loving the thing because it makes it so easy and quick and easy to do.
Well, and the other thing is it asked me to put my serial number in, my vehicle ID number. And so they know exactly what the vehicle is, right? And so that way they can make a honest to goodness bid on the vehicle. And I got to tell you, I think it was probably, had they bid just a little bit more, I would have taken the bid. I would have just drove it to the dealer and said, okay, give me a check. But it was just like just a hair under what I would have liked to have taken. My guess is if I went to that dealer and said, look, if you pay this, I'll bet they would probably be the owner of that vehicle. So I still may do that, by the way.
I bet you could talk them up to the difference you're looking for. But see, that's the other thing too, is you're a savvy, you know, car guy. I mean, you've had dealerships, you've bought and sold how many cars, right?
Thousands,
so for you, you know that, well, for me as Alan Taylor, I can go through a little bit of trouble and sell this car on my own. I got lots of options. The average consumer, they don't want to deal with that, Alan.
Right.
They just want the car to go away.
No,
and the ease of using that, even if they can't get quite as much as they'd get if they went through taking photos and posting it on, you know, Craigslist or on a sales site. Anyone can do that. And a lot of people do, and they should if they can do it. That's great. But some people, they want the car to go away, and they still want a reasonable bid, and this is an option.
Well, and I will say, too, that I'm one of those guys. I know the best money you can spend on a vehicle when you're going to go to sell it is a professional detail. I've had that done.
Yep.
So in their minds, they're thinking, okay, you know, $150, $200 to have it detailed. I've already done that. So if I take my vehicle in and they look at it, they may up their bid, which is good for you folks to know, too, out there. When you're going to go sell something, if it's $10,000, $15,000, $50,000 like my truck, because my truck new is like $70,000, but it's now 3 years old. But that $200 you can spend or $150 depending on where you live, that is the best money. You get the most return on investment of anything because people are looking at your car. It's shiny. It's pretty. It's clean. It's under the hood clean, inside clean, no smell, you know, other than, you know, the fact that they've shampooed the interior. So that is a tremendous, you know, investment to make when you're selling something. Have it professionally detailed. Big difference. Anyway, we blew the whole segment on this,
you don't want to do it professionally, Alan. You know what I've said? One of my older brother's friends who's a real car guy told me this probably 30 years ago, and he's totally right. If you can't pay or you don't want to deal with even having a detailer, you just do a basic wash, and then here's something that people don't think about. Windows. Glass.
Yeah.
You clean those windows. You go through the trouble and you get those windows sparkling. Nobody wants to get in a car they're thinking of buying and see a haze and see like spots and stuff like that. Just cleaning the windows on a used car can totally change the appearance from outside and the driving experience when you're test driving it, because the windows are just this clean, clear thing you look for.
Yep.
It has a psychological effect people don't realize.
Yep. The other thing I try and do is have the oil changed, have the front end aligned. Make sure that you've done everything so the person doesn't look at the vehicle and go, oh, well, I don't know if, you know, this, that, and that. Oh, listen, I just had the oil change, had it serviced. Keep your records, keep your all your, you know, receipts and things. If you have everything and somebody's interested in buying your car and you don't, and there's no hurdles, they're going to buy it if it's nice. We'll take a little break.
Yep.
Come back. I know Carl just got done driving a new Porsche Boxster in Cayman in Portugal. Oh, I hate you, Carl. I'll get him high, show him what I got. Oh, 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 oh. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, with Dodge Power Dollars going on, every horsepower of your new Dodge vehicle that you want to purchase, you'll get 10 bucks off for every horsepower. So peeling out in a 2019 Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack, yeah, they're still available out there. You got to look around a little bit. But you get $4,580 off because 485 horsepower. Or 400, what is it, 45, whatever. I don't know how to do the math. Carl, how many horsepower is in this Scat Pack?
$4,850. $485.
Whatever, I don't know.
And by the way, how brilliant is that sales tactic?
I need another car
like I need a hole in the head. And every time I see those commercials, I'm like, you know, Stacy looked good driving around in the Charger wide body there.
That's you know what? They have done such a good job. I'm proud of the brand. They're doing really, really good. You and I both are. I'm not a Dodge owner at the moment. I am a Ram owner, but truck. But I sold my Demon, and you still have yours. And I'm on the hunt now. Of course, I have a Supra. But I'm thinking about getting a Jeep Gladiator, and they've offered a couple new packages and selling my big old Dodge truck because I just don't use it enough. You know, 2 years, I've barely driven the thing. So, right. But I'm one of those guys, I can only get married once. My wife hates it when I say this, but I can have as many cars as I want as long as I don't look at other girls. So that's the deal we made.
There you go. Fair.
So you went to Portugal, huh? You got to drive the new 718 Porsche Boxster and the Cayman GTS 4.0.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Yes. Well, you know, this is a great, great philosophy by Porsche, which is, hey, let's have naturally aspirated manual shift only versions of these cars, which I like because that's like throwing it back, right?
Yeah.
So that's what these are. These are brand new 2021. The official name's a little weighty and a little hard to manage, but it's the 718 Boxster GTS 4.0 or 718 Cayman GTS 4.0. There's a lot of numbers and letters going on there, but the bottom line is the GTS trim level, which Porsche has been really focusing on for probably the last 7 or 8 years, increasingly, just really making these very well-executed versions of their models, right? There's a 911 GTS. There's a Macan GTS. It's also been updated for 2020. I drove that over there too. And this GTS, these letters, people who are in the know in the Porsche world, they love these cars. They're kind of like, you know, Denali has become kind of a sub-brand within GMC, and they sell a lot of them because people are not just fans of GMC, but they're fans of the Denali versions of their different cars.
Right.
That's like Porsche with GTS. And they come with these cool interior and exterior styling things. They come with upgraded standard performance enhancements, and they usually have more horsepower too. And that's the case here. You know, you get the naturally aspirated 4-liter opposed six, flat six engine, which is just a fabulous engine that makes great exhaust notes from Porsche. And they come in either the Boxster or Cayman convertible or coupe version, basically of the same car, mid-engine, and manual shift only initially, which is something that I think you and I probably can get behind, and a lot of the enthusiasts who otherwise would buy Porsches anyways really like. So,
well, you know what? Here's the problem.
They're fabulous cars.
The problem is that the automatic transmissions today are so freaking good, and they shift so fast, and they're reconfigurable to where, you know, even an older vehicle has the ability to, you know, you put it in sport mode, you're changing the algorithms and the shift patterns of the transmission. Sometimes you're changing even more than that when you put it into shift mode. You can change the way the car steers. You can change the dampers of the shock absorbers. There's a lot of things that go on when you push down on that one button called sport. But, you know, it's like, but I still, even though yes, we all know that it's fantastic with the, you know, the Tiptronic transmissions and things that Porsche even has. It's fantastic, but there's something even more supercalifragilisticexpialidocious about shifting your own transmission if you love cars and you love the sport of driving.
Well, we got to drive these cars on the racetrack there in Portugal in a Estoril race circuit. Mm. And I'm telling you, the car is a sweetheart, Alan. It's everything I want in a car, which is to say that not only is it responsive with the throttle and the transmission works beautifully, the three pedals, and it's got the automatic rev matching, so it's very easy for downshifting when you're braking into a corner.
Right.
But then you rotate the car, you do some trail braking, the car rotates, it's got that mid-engine centralized mass, so you can feel it all right there next to you. And it just cradles you confidently through the corner and all, and you can play a little bit, and then you shoot out the other side with that throttle response and that torque that comes right in right once you're past apex. I mean, it's everything you want a car to do, and not surprisingly, Porsche is pretty good at doing that when it comes to a car that drives well on a track. And yet, when you take it on the regular street, you pull it out of Sport Plus or Sport Mode and put it in normal mode, suspension's comfortable, damping's comfortable, exhaust gets a little quieter if you want it to. It's really an amazing car. Porsche just knows how to put these vehicles together. They're good at it.
Well, I will tell you that aroused me a little bit. That just sounded so fun the way you described that. How much money is one of these things, by the way?
So it's going to be, they haven't announced pricing, but think mid to high 80s. I think the Cayman will be a little less expensive because it's the hard top.
Yeah.
But somewhere between 88, 90, somewhere in there. But you get everything. GTS, all packaged. Just buy it and go. You don't need to add a thing.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. I hate you, Carl Brower. I hate you. Carl's with Auto Trader, Kelly Blue Book, and Dealer.com. He also writes stories. You can find him in Forbes and other places. Carl Brower, thank you, brother.
Thank you, Alan. Fun as always.
I don't hate you. You know that. I just kind of do a little bit. We'll take a break.
You love me. You love me, Alan.
This is The Drive.
Kia doesn't have to be the oldest SUV maker around, because what they lack in the cautious restraint of age, they make up for with the gravel-pounding ambition of youth. Telluride, Sportage, and Sorento SX. Part of the tough and ready lineup of SUVs from Kia, with fully active all-wheel drive, torque vectoring corner control, and forward collision warning. Kia, give it everything. No system, no matter how advanced, can compensate for all driver error and or driving conditions. Forward collision warning is not a substitute for safe driving and may not detect all objects surrounding vehicle. Always drive safely and use caution.
Well, you're listening to The Drive, part of Drive Tribe Now. I'm Alan Taylor. My buddy BJ Colleen, the voice of reason in my perilous world, is joining us right now. I have a few people in my life that help bring sanity to me. BJ is one of them. How you doing, BJ?
Sometimes I bring sanity.
Yes.
Other times I create it.
Sometimes you create, yes, in calamity.
Yes.
Usually
calamity BJ, that's what they call me.
When we're together at an event. So there's a lot of news, you know, to talk about, of course. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I know that I'm going to be doing this thing on ABC with Kelly and Ryan on, and you know, live with Kelly and Ryan. And my concern is that there's a whole bunch of new vehicles entering the marketplace, of which I know nothing about, because they're new vehicles. And part of the deal with, you know, doing that show, I've been doing it for 21 years this year, and they sometimes don't even tell me anything about the vehicle until they have it in the showroom and it's got a cover on it, not in the showroom, but in the television studio, and they hand me a piece of paper and it's got, like, you know, way too much information for the 30 seconds I get with the car. But, you know, it's like I see these things, and there was one, I sent you a link to one. I'm like, I don't even know anything about this. So maybe you can shine some light on what, I don't even remember what it was called already. It's like that new. What was it?
But you told me that, are they going to be showing this on the show?
I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. It could be one of the ones I'm going to have to show. So I'm hoping maybe you can shine a little light on it.
That'd be totally cool if you got a chance to show this off. Now, I know it's cool, but, you know, it's an electric vehicle, which means you're, you know, on the fence about electric vehicles. But it's pretty cool because it's a pickup truck designed to compete with vehicles on the likes of Rivian, Hummer and Tesla, which are all going to be electric pickup trucks. But this one's from Nikola Motors. And if you know Nikola Tesla, so there's somebody took the guy's first name and Tesla has his last name. Yeah. So it's kind of, I don't just, the infighting is absolutely a crack up.
I know.
The behind the scenes stories is too funny. But they're talking about that they introduced, it's called a Nikola's Badger. And it's a pickup truck that to me, and you guys can just go online and search Nikola's, and I K-O-L-A-S Badger, like the animal. And it's an electric truck that's going to be available either as a pure battery electric or with a fuel cell system. And they're saying 600 miles of range, with 300 of that on batteries alone, and 906 peak horsepower and 980 pound-feet of torque. It's going to be a hydrogen vehicle, which I personally love. I would rather see hydrogen vehicles out there than electric vehicles. The only problem with hydrogen is that there's no real infrastructure for it yet. But they're going to build 700 hydrogen filling stations as part of this. So that's going to be interesting. I don't know where the stations are going. You know, right now, the only hydrogen stations really are in Southern California. So it's limited where people can do it. But, you know, it takes like 5 to 7 minutes to fill up with hydrogen. You don't have to plug in and wait, you know, 12 hours or 3 to 4 hours even. You don't have to do anything to your garage. So I personally think hydrogen is a cleaner way to go, because the only byproduct is water out of your exhaust pipe. So it's pretty cool. But, you know, you've got all these electric vehicles and electric pickup trucks really coming online, because you do have tremendous amounts of torque. So it's going to be, it's going to be fun to be at the New York Auto Show. I think I'm going to be there. So we're going to have to hook up and go get some pastrami or something.
Oh, yeah. I have a pastrami story that I shouldn't really tell, because it involves vomiting and diarrhea. So you don't want to mix those two.
That.
Yeah, it's a bad one. But it's interesting, because you just said 906 horsepower, 980 pound-feet of torque.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do with all that? I mean, I'm sure it's going to be pure fun. And I'm with you on this. The hydrogen equation here is very interesting to me. But then now Hummer is coming back. We've talked about this a little bit. And they're talking about the same kind of horsepower, 1,000 horsepower, whatever the heck it's going to be. But it's going to be sold under the GMC brand, you know?
Right.
Which is a little bit strange. I was like, why didn't they let it run on its own? I don't know. But, you know, Carl was just talking about how General Motors is pulling out of Holden. Shutting it down. So
yep, they're done.
In Australia and New Zealand. So, you know, I don't know, man. The world is really revving up on all these electric and hydrogen and different kinds of powered vehicles. While, of course, Dodge is one of our sponsors. Dodge and their trucks, the truck division Ram and the Jeep division, they're all putting these big old honking, you know, 707 horsepower V8 engines in their vehicles still, which to me, that makes the most sense, because guess what? It just is what it is. There's like no learning curve to horsepower when you put gas in your tank. There's such a learning curve, and it kind of scares me a little bit, because I don't love electric vehicles. And now I get it. When you have 900 horsepower at your toe and it's like a light switch and you push down, if they don't have some sort of algorithm that, you know, kind of puts the power in slowly, that could be an explosion of a rear end. You know what I mean? Bam, it's on, you know? So it's just, it's interesting.
I was just going to say, you know, you got a truck, so you're hauling things, you're towing things. The fact that because it's an electric vehicle, your torque, you're getting every single percentage of that 980 pound-feet of torque at zero RPM. It's all available.
Right.
So if you're hauling, this is what you want. This is the advantage, I think, of an electric vehicle, is having that instant torque the minute you need it. It's not, you have to wait for the engine to rev up or anything like that, the RPMs to come up.
Right.
You've got it then and there. So, you know, there's nothing out yet. We saw Ford have their F-150 electric in that YouTube video where they pulled the train, you know,
a million pounds.
You can see it. Yeah. And you can see that power, but we haven't seen anything. We haven't driven anything in real life. So nobody knows, you know, it's all just, hey, isn't this cool? You know, someday we'll have it. So we just have to wait and see
right.
when it comes out and get the testing done. It's going to be cool. You know, it's going to be interesting how it works off road. You know, I mean, you got that whole consideration because they're designing them to be off road vehicles, sure. Hummer especially, which, by the way, nobody's ever going to call it the GMC Hummer. It will always be a Hummer.
I know, exactly.
I hope General Motors understands that. But it's going to be fascinating.
Well, it's kind of like, and it's a little bit late, it's kind of like turn of the century, you know, kind of stuff. We went from horse and buggy to, you know, the gasoline-powered vehicles. And here we now are, you know, a little late, 20 years in here, going to this electric thing to where it's becoming much more mainstream and everybody's kind of starting to do it. And so I don't know, it's kind of fun, kind of scary, kind of weird. You know, people still like to drive around in their horse and buggies. That doesn't mean that, you know, we should do that. We're going to take a little break, come back and talk a little bit more with BJ Colleen. I'm Alan Taylor. I've been thinking about you.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars on the 2019 Dodge Charger and Challenger, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in a Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger with available 485 horsepower. So come in to your local Dodge dealer now. See dealer for details. Offer not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 3/2/2020. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Well, this is The Drive, now part of The Drive Tribe. Get over to Facebook and check out Drive Tribe and create your own tribe. I've got mine. It's called The Drive, which it works well. This is Jeremy Clarkson and the guys from Top Gear started this whole thing, and they've asked me to be a voice for the USA because 4.5 million people on their Facebook page, if you can imagine that. BJ Colleen joining us. We're going to have to start a tribe for Team Colleen, you know.
Yeah.
So, but as it is, you're part of my tribe anyway. So, Ryan Newman last week was in a horrific NASCAR crash. And I think earlier this week, he already walked out of the hospital, right?
Yeah, you know. That crash was, you just looked at that and, you know, you think of Dale Earnhardt and you go, that's not a survivable crash. You know, one crash maybe, but when you get hit on, you know, when you get T-boned by another car going at that speed, you're just thinking this is the worst thing that can happen. And, you know, nobody said anything after the race and we didn't know. We just know he was in the hospital. And then finally they announced that he had serious but not life-threatening injuries. Right. And just a couple of days ago, they had a video on Facebook that showed him and his two daughters. And he was walking out of the hospital.
That's
so,
amazing.
I mean, he's probably got bumps and bruises, maybe a concussion, but it just goes to show you how far that car building and safety, racing safety has gone. And it's a miracle. And nobody could be any happier for him than all of us. That's for sure.
No question about it. Look, we love watching NASCAR and we love watching the crashes. But this is, you know, one that was incredibly spectacular. And part of the awe, the shock and awe of the whole thing is to watch that crash and go, the dude went to the hospital, but he walked out a couple days later and he's probably there most of the time just for testing and testing and testing and testing. It's like, you know, he may not even be that bad off. Like you said, he's probably got a little bit here and there, but that crash, nobody should have lived through that, you know? But
yeah.
Anyway, it's part of the whole allure of watching NASCAR is like, oh, there's another big old crash.
But, yeah. You know, it's interesting, though, about that, because if you saw, you know, the race or at least that part of it, he was leading. He was on the last lap and he got bumped from behind. And, you know, obviously when you do that kind of thing, you're upsetting the air. And, you know, he was dicing around trying to stop the guys from cutting in front of him to take over the lead lap. But the bottom line is a lot of people are talking now. We'll have to talk to Stephen Cole Smith about this because he is the motorsports guy you know, we got to put an end to this bumping at the last minute. And, you know, when you tap the back of the car, because at those speeds that anything can happen. And this is exactly what happens when you do that kind of bumping at those speeds. And some people say, well, that's racing. And the truth is, if you talk to Dale Earnhardt, if he was alive, he was the first one that was bumping everybody. He thought it was funny and part of the racing. And right. He didn't care if you went spinning off into the sunset. He thought that was part of racing, but there's some talk about, you know, has this got to end because of these kind of crashes? So,
right.
Yeah, we'll have to get Steve on the show and see what he has to say about this.
It was eerily familiar to me because I happened to be at the Daytona 500 when Dale Earnhardt was killed. I was down in the pits talking to Tony Urie, who was Dale Earnhardt's crew chief, and I was talking to Ray Evernham, who was at the time Jeff Gordon's crew chief.
Yeah.
And when they came over and told Tony Urie that Dale was dead, they whispered in his ear and he started crying. Nobody else knew, but they had to tell his crew chief. That's like his family.
Yeah.
And he was sitting on the wall, leaning on the wall, and he literally kind of fell over and laid on the ground crying. And I was standing right there in total, complete, like, shock, like, oh, my God, I have a feeling I know what's going on. I was doing interviews that day and my show changed. I ended up winning an award for that show because I interviewed fans. I interviewed race car drivers. Of course, that was, you know, 2001, I think.
Something like that.
Something
it was. So.
But now, oddly enough, today I got an email from Dale Earnhardt's daughter, who has just put a new book coming out in April. And I'm going to be interviewing her about her new book as an entrepreneur and how she's one of the top people in NASCAR, businesswoman, Dale Earnhardt's daughter. And anyway, well, BJ, thank you. Thank you for hanging with us. And maybe I'll get Dale Earnhardt's daughter to be on the show when the time comes. So
that would be fun.
Yep. Anyway, our prayers and good wishes go out to Ryan Newman for continued success. Hope he doesn't have any whatever you want to call it, backlash from an accident. We want to see him back out on the racetrack as a motorsports enthusiast and as just a person. We want to see him healthy for his kids and his family and his wife and his parents. I'm Alan Taylor. She's BJ Colleen. We're part of the Drive Tribe now. Again, go to Facebook, Drive Tribe. Start your own tribe. Or go to drivetribe.com. See what it's all about. International. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back with another hour right after this.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this show, this hour of the show, is going to be jam-packed with information. Tons and tons of it. You're going to need a pickup truck, a really fast one. Well, that's what Brian Moody, executive editor of Auto Trader, autotrader.com, that's one of the things he's going to be talking about. Used pickups that are fast and tech features for your spring break road trip, of which it's not even really spring break yet, but I'm about to go get in my motorhome and go off for the rest of the weekend.
It's coming, so, dude. It's coming.
I know. It's right around the corner. Although, beautiful sunshiny day today, so I'm going to channel spring. Also, pros and cons of the new Nissan Altima. Brian Moody, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I got no complaints. What I want is for the first day of spring, out of some of these lists or whatever, I want you to just go ahead and drop me off one of these cars, just as a gift to me. Okay. Not greedy. I'm even a used one. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to get a Bentley or something. I'm just, you know.
Well,
simple.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
I'm a simple person.
I'm going to call and I'm going to hook you up with the Uber self-driving, whatever it is, for like an hour. That'll probably
cost. Speaking of Uber, let me just say this.
Yeah.
You know how they have this thing now on Uber where you can pick I want to have a conversation or I don't want to have a conversation. Have
oh, I didn't know. I did not know that.
In the, maybe it's Lyft. I don't know which one. But it's like a selection that you can take, your conversation preferences. You can say, oh, I'd like to have a conversation, or you can say, no, I don't want anyone to talk to me. Or you can just leave it normal, which is no preference. You just skip by that screen and nobody ever notices.
Right.
Well, okay, I appreciate the effort, but here's what I'm afraid of. I want to pick no conversation most of the time, because by the time I'm done working or wherever I'm using Uber, I've already used up all of my words. And I just want to go back to the hotel and chill. But who? What kind of a person? You're going to see this guy get in your car. Oh, look at this guy. Don't talk to me. Oh, right. Okay.
Right.
I don't know. You see what I mean?
No, I know. And I've been on those, you know, what do they call that? Ride sharing, Uber, Lyft, yeah. All whatever. And the person is incredibly talkative. One time, yeah. The guy was politically opposite of me and he had the radio on. And they said something, and he started commenting on it, and it was like, holy crap, let me out of this car, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was one. The other one, this has happened a number of times, the other one was this lady was driving, and she was literally pouring out all of her life's problems. And, of course, I'm not a counselor. Oh, yeah, maybe I am. But anyway, because I had to play that role, and we were on our way to a Holiday Inn Express, if you know what I mean. But the thing is, I was very uncomfortable. So I think I am the same guy that wants to check the box. Like, I'm just needing a ride somewhere, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, but you're right.
That's why I think once the automated ones come, I think there might be more takers because – you don't have to tell the robot or the mechanism, I don't want to talk. It doesn't care. It
exactly.
Just, its job is to follow the track and get you to your hotel.
Although, when I was in Iceland, I got picked up for an event, and the guy was an ex-cop, and he told me the most amazing stories, which was, so you never know what you get. It's a mixed bag of nuts, right?
True. I had that happen in New York, and I actually was, like, more appreciative that the guy was, he was actually pretty cool, so... Yeah,
you got to take the good with the bad.
I'm like an awful person, but I don't mean to be.
No, you are an awful person sometimes, but that's the thing. Sometimes you're a really nice person.
Yeah,
let's hope that's today. All right, tee up what we're going to talk about on the other side of the break. Let's start with used pickups that are fast. Like what?
Right. So we come up with a list on Auto Trader of good used pickups, but these are fast pickups, like performance oriented, not just for hauling manure and lumber. These are cool, fun pickups that you can get for a reasonable price. And yeah, they're used, but I still think they're cool.
All right. Brian Moody, autotrader.com. You're listening to The Drive all across America, now part of Drive Tribe. That's right. Pick up the app. Just go to the App Store and start your own tribe. Drive Tribe. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Well, you guys know our show is brought to you in part by Dodge. Visit your local Dodge dealer where your performance vehicle is waiting for you. They have great deals on technology and great deals on performance with the Power Dollars event going on. That means with the Power Dollars, you get $10 off for each horsepower of your new Dodge. That's right. Check it out at the Dodge dealers. Matter of fact, I just got an email. Brian Moody joining me. I just got an email from the Dodge dealer. They're like, we know you have this car and your payment is this. Wouldn't you like to have this car and we can lower your payment by like half? And I'm like, what the heck? That's the 2020 model and mine's a 2018 and I can lower my payment? Of course, it's not as much car, but at the same time, It's very tempting. They have a lot of really interesting ways of marketing these days.
You must know that your used one is worth quite a bit or in demand.
Well, I already sold it, but they haven't figured that out yet. But that's all right. It's because it's kind of fresh. But I am in the market, and somehow they must know. All right, let's talk about pickups, as a matter of fact, because I know that Ram has been talking about. Do you know anything? I'm just curious about the Ram big engine, because you're talking about fast pickups, and I can't remember what it's called. It's like a Raptor killer kind of a thing.
Right. So, okay, that fits perfectly with this. So we're talking about used trucks on this list, and actually the first one is a Ram SRT10 pickup, but a used one. But what you're talking about is going to be the Ram Rebel TRX.
Yeah.
And that is a version of the Ram that is supposed to compete with the Raptor. I think the Raptor is safe, as they're still going to sell plenty of Raptors. But I think just on curiosity alone, you're going to get, you imagine, you know, like an SRT10 type of
right
up, but with the off-road gear like the Raptor. I think they're going to sell a few, but I don't think it's going to like seriously damage the Raptor's reputation or sales. But I do think that some people will opt for the Ram just because it's different. And also, my opinion, the Ram's interior is just more nicely done than most Fords.
Well, interesting. If you think of, you know, what is the one dinosaur that was supposed to be able to take out a Raptor? It was a T-Rex, right?
Yeah.
So
that's funny. Never thought of that.
Right? TRX. Okay. So you're talking about fast trucks used on the market. I've always wanted an SRT10 with the big Viper V10 engine, and I think those things are really going up in value.
Right, that's number one on the list is 8.3-liter V10, 500 horsepower, 6-speed manual, and they only made them from 2004 to 2006. I think these things are going to be collectible at some point, but right now, if you look on Auto Trader, you can get them for around $20,000. We found one with 37,000 miles for about $22,000.
Wow.
That's a pretty solid, quick truck for a reasonable amount of money.
Well, and here's the deal. For me, as an entrepreneur, you know, I also work with Entrepreneur Magazine. I like to buy stuff that I can keep for a year or two and get my money back. That's an entrepreneur's way of living, is I want to kind of have my cake and eat it too. And this is how you do that right here.
So, yeah, exactly right.
What else you got?
The 1990 Chevy Silverado 454 SS. That's obviously the one that's all blacked out.
Right.
It doesn't have as much power because it's back in the day. And in 1990, that 454 made 230 horsepower. It doesn't sound like a lot, but that was a pretty quick truck back then. And, again, you can get this for around $20,000. Maybe even the Chevy Silverado 454 SS might even be a little pricier than the Ram SRT10, just because it's starting to be old enough to be cool in a vintage kind of way. But still, $20,000 to $25,000 might well get you a decent one.
Well, and if you go to the aftermarket and you want to add horsepower to that, you've already got the basic engine, a 454, that you can do a lot with in the aftermarket world. And easily attain that, you know, 400 or 500 horsepower.
Totally.
You know, so,
and then we also have the Tacoma X-Runner on our list. Now, it doesn't have a bigger engine than the normal Tacoma, and it was sold for 3 years between 2005 and 2008. But the X-Runner is lowered. It has a manual transmission. It has stiffer bracing for better handling. It has Bilstein shocks. It has unique bodywork. So this is more of a decent handling truck as opposed to, say, the SRT10 would be like a drag strip type of truck.
Right.
So still a sport truck that should be quick with that manual and the V6 and goes around corners pretty quick.
You know, I've always been a truck guy. Right now I have a 2017 Ram crew cab, four-wheel drive, one-ton dually. Now, let me tell you about dualies. First of all, you can't just park them anywhere because they got a gigantic rear end on them. You know what I mean? But my gosh, this thing still has a wholesale book of $51,000.
I like big wheels and I cannot lie.
Where's that song? Get it for me. Oh, shoot. When do I? All right. Well, here. This is the closest thing I can come up with. That's what I already had teed up, by the way. Brian Moody. We're talking about used pickups that are fast. That's my kind of language. Autotrader.com. The idea here is help you guys find what you're maybe not looking for, but should be. These are cars you can hold get your money back. That's what I like to do as an entrepreneur. Take a little break and be back with more of The Drive, now part of Drive Tribe. Check it out. Go to the App Store. Pick up the app. Drive Tribe. We'll be right back.
Stay away. Don't you invade my home. Best off if you hang outside.
Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars on the 2019 Dodge Charger and Challenger, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in a Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger with available 485 horsepower. So come in to your local Dodge dealer now. See dealer for details. Offer not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 3/2/2020. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. My nephew sends me a text yesterday saying, I'm at the Subaru dealer about to buy my fifth Subaru since he was 17 years old. And now he's just had a baby. And he says, all I've ever owned is Subarus. So I sent, you know, a note to the president of Subaru showing him. I said, you know, this is my family right here. They love Subarus. And he goes, let me know how I can help. The people at Subaru do such a great job. Anyway, you and I have talked about that.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a fan.
Yep. Okay, so we were talking about, from autotrader.com, Brian Moody joining us, and he's talking about used pickups available on the market today that are fast. And he's given us some examples, like the SRT10.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful. Matter of fact, I should be an owner of one of those, because I happen to have been lusting after. I have a friend that has one. And I said, if you ever die, please put me in. That's
I think
not
they're
nice.
Going to go up in value, too. I honestly do. I think they're only sold for 2 years, but a 500-horsepower manual transmission, standard cab, short bed truck, I mean, that has the recipe right there.
I think I've seen them in a club cab or an extra cab or a crew cab. I'm not sure. But it seems like I did.
What I've noticed is that standard cab short beds always seem to be the ones that gain. Like, even if you look at a square body Silverado or C10, you can get long beds for a reasonable price, but man, if it's a short bed standard cab,
right?
On that, you know, they're worth. People
well,
like them.
They're just kind of like fun trucks. Remind you of Hot Wheels cars when you were a kid.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got?
All right. Well, the last two on our list are the same basic car, but just from different generations. So, 93, 94, 95. Ford F-150 SVT Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
That's got a 5.8-liter V8 making 240 horsepower. You can get one of these for about $25,000. They made about 11,000 of them, so there should be some to pick from. Obviously, a direct competitor for the 454 SS.
Right.
A good truck. But then also, about 10 years later, there's an F-150 SVT Lightning that was from that generation of truck that was a little bit more round. And this is around 1999 that look debuted. So if you look at the SVT Lightning F-150 from 03, you know, that generation, that's a good one. Again, you could get one of these, at least some of them are on Auto Trader, for less than $20,000, $15,000, $16,000 all day long. 0 to 60 in 5.2 seconds, which is pretty fast at that point.
Yeah.
And this one has a supercharged V8 making 360 horsepower. So that's not bad.
I agree with all these choices, and I'm going to add one, which I hope you don't mind. I'm going to add one to this list, which is the Harley-Davidson Ford pickups. Same kind of a deal, right?
So was that more of a, hey, look at me kind of truck, or was it actually like...
No, they supercharged, you know. It was kind of an SVT Lightning, and then they'd put a Harley-Davidson badging on it and you know, seats and things like that.
I think the reason that we didn't have that one on our list is because we have a very strict rule against things that look tacky.
No, I don't think... I think it was nicely done.
The one with the orange, the big orange all over the place.
Oh, that's only in the newer years. The older years, it was kind of monochromatic, you know, all one color.
And corrected by the bastard.
There you go. baby. All right.
Good trucks,
so,
I mean, fun trucks, quick trucks, reasonable price. I think that's exactly what people should be looking at if you can't afford a brand new. I mean, listen, I'd love to have a new Raptor, but that's more than
75,000 bucks, exactly. And I only know because I went looking the other day. By the way, so I would call these used pickups that are fast, .. for the gearhead. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. You're going to have to add that on at autotrader.com. Okay, so tech features, as you know, I literally after we're done here, I'm going to go out and I'm going to grab my wife. She'll hit me, of course, after I grab her. But anyway, I'm going to take her into the motorhome and we're going to drive to the sand dunes where our kids are there with their coaches and motorhomes and trailers and their side-by-sides. And so I am interested in your next story here, which is tech features for your next spring break road trip. We'll just say for your next road trip, because I'm about to go today.
Even for your late winter road trip, let's just
there
say.
You go.
I mean, the truth is when you go ask your wife, you're going to get in the car and you're going to say, how do I use the nav? I don't remember. I can't. Press the buttons. I mean, listen, good technology should make your life easier. And if it doesn't make your life easier, the problem isn't you. The problem is the technology.
Right.
People always have this thing where they're like, oh, I guess I just don't understand it, or I'm too old, or I'm too young. Or no, nonsense. Good technology should be easy to understand, and it should enhance the experience of the car, not detract from it.
I agree.
So,
Hold that thought. Here's the reason why. I just got this Itasca made by Winnebago. And it's on a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter chassis, and it's a 2014. I don't like buying brand new RVs because there's a huge amount of, you know, expense there. You know, 5-6 years old, they're half price. So that's what I did. I bought a 2014. It's a BlueTEC diesel Sprinter chassis, 24-footer. Guess what? It's got a Kenwood or I don't know which brand stereo in it from 2014. Because it was, you know, it had the ability to add the camera to it and all these things. But here's my problem. It's got 2014 technology. And the technology is like, honest to God, it's weird, Brian. It feels like it's 100-year-old technology and it's only 6 years old. That's how far things have come. When we come back, I want to get this whole list of new tech features for your next road trip. We're talking with Brian Moody from AutoTrader, AutoTrader.com. These stories are at AutoTrader.com. Check them out. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So, about to go on a little road trip, my buddy Brian Moody from Auto Trader. He's the executive editor. He's on the phone with us right now. Our show brought to you in part by Brembo Brakes, the choice of champions. But I have a 2014 motorhome, and I swear to you, I feel like the interface and the you know, the screen, it looks like I should be playing Pong on it from 1980. You know, it's that old. Honestly, it's like it's only 6 years old. It's bizarre, isn't it? And today,
let me say this in all fairness to our tech friends out there in the world. In 2014, the tech should have been, you know, there was even some cars that had Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. I think maybe the fact that it's a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter might be more the issue than just the fact that it's 6 years old.
No, but it's an aftermarket stereo on top of everything else. So I don't know. But here's the thing. And what we should do is really applaud our tech friends in the industry for doing such a fantastic job. Because I'll tell you why. I get in this motorhome, and it's a small motorhome. It's like a, you know, everybody knows what a Sprinter van is. I don't have lane departure warning. So I'm thinking, man, I wish they made aftermarket lane departure warning, which I know is either available now for motorhomes or going to be soon. The aftermarket does a pretty darn good job of catching up with, I mean, after all, this is a Mercedes van, right? So yeah. I just think today's technology is fantastic, and I'm curious what your list holds.
All right, let me just tell you this. On our list is Apple CarPlay, but before we go through the whole list, there's an amazing article on Digital Trends that lists pretty much every car that has Apple CarPlay, new and used. So it will say starting in 2016 on the Q6 or 20. Yeah, it's really amazing.
Right.
If you're shopping for a car and you want that tech,
you've got
to go look at it.
Good. So that's at autotrader.com.
Yep. Our number one thing is Apple CarPlay.
Yes.
I just feel like it's such a game changer. I can't imagine buying a new car without it, and you can get it in the aftermarket. You can get a certain head unit that will display Apple CarPlay. It either has a screen that flips up or it just fits into a tuned-in system in your car.
Right.
That's the first one.
Okay.
Second, wireless charging. I mean, wireless charging is like, I don't know, it's almost like a miracle from beyond.
Yep.
It's the kind of thing that when you think of the future, that's the kind of thing that you think should be there.
Right.
And there it is. The future is today. Also, I would go along with modern rear seat entertainment systems. It used to be just a DVD player in the back, but now when you look at cars like the Chrysler Pacifica and others, there's built-in apps and games. One of my favorite is Are We There Yet? So you put your destination in the nav system. Your kids sitting in the second row can follow along and make it a game, kind of like, hey, how far away are we? Instead of having to say, are we there yet, every 10 seconds.
Right. You can ask them now.
You can ask them, how long do we get there? The 360-degree parking camera, must have. Got to have that.
Yeah.
My wife and I were looking for a new car. Once we drove a car with a 360 camera, she said, I only want to see cars with that feature from now on. I don't want to look at any more cars that don't have the camera that sees all the way around. And there are actually many cars that have that, Toyota Prius, Nissan Pathfinder, on and on, like many cars that are reasonably priced.
Oh, good.
And the last one, what you mentioned, which is lane keep assist and adaptive cruise control. Those are excellent features.
I love those.
On a long trip.
Yep. Well, because especially, listen, if you're talking about an RV, which I think that all RVs, I think the newer ones you're gonna see, and I don't know because I haven't done any checking yet, but the first thing I noticed when I got on the road, I started driving, and I was like, oh, I better adjust my mirrors, which should not be an afterthought. It should be the first thing we do, but I was so excited to drive this thing. I just got in and started driving. The next thing you know, I'm going to change lanes, and I'm like, oh, no, there's a blind spot. It's a motorhome. Of course there's a blind spot. But I thought, you know, so then I thought, well, I want to, you know, electric mirrors. Thank God for electric mirrors. I just zoomed it out a little bit to where I could see what was, you know, further out in the lane, and I zoomed it back in. But I'm still doing all this stuff that's taking my eye off the road. These, dare I say, passive things that happen when you're driving to keep you safer, like the lane departure warning system, you don't have to do anything. It will warn you. That's the beauty. It's the hand of God. So I believe that you're 100% right. I love all these things you mentioned. I'm just wondering, I'm waiting for the radar detector. Where's that?
Well, it's not 1987 anymore.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say. But lane departure warning is one thing. Lane departure correction, and that would be included in features like Nissan's ProPilot. So it kind of steers you through corners on the freeway.
Mm.
You can't really take your hand off the wheel. If you do for a short period, it will still work, but it's not supposed to be a self-driving system the way Cadillac Super Cruise is. But lane departure warning, adaptive cruise control, and lane departure prevention, or lane centering, as it's sometimes called, those all kind of work together. And even though it doesn't drive the car by itself automatically, what it does is it reduces fatigue. So by the end of your trip, you could have your feet off the pedals. You're still steering, but you don't have to give as much effort. And if you're not paying close attention, it will keep you in your lane. You should always be paying attention, let's just say that.
Right.
But the point is that those features are common on a lot of cars today, and you know, I think they're worth a while, because especially on a long road trip, it can be fatiguing at the very end. So we always think about seat comfort and horsepower, gas mileage, but these other things are worth mentioning, and they're worth looking for whether you're buying a new or a used car.
All right, is this available at autotrader.com under what? Tech features,
yes,
for your spring break.
Under, okay. Are you ready for this? Car news.
Oh, okay, good. Have you, by just curiosity, have you driven the Cadillac Super Cruise yet?
Yes.
I have not. What's it like?
Works. It works. Now, it works only on certain freeways that have been mapped, but there's like 200,000 miles worth of freeways or something like that. Like, it's a lot of freeways. So, it honestly, it does do what the Tesla promise, which is that, like, it basically drives itself. And it's okay to do that in certain circumstances.
Right.
So I think it's genius. And look at the name that they gave it. Autopilot is misleading. Super Cruise is perfectly named.
I agree.
It's control, but Super Cruise control.
Right. Well, and also back to the technology where my, you know, as you called it, head unit, that's an industry, you know, term, my stereo that's in the middle of my dash of my motorhome, it literally, I honest to God, it's black screen with blue, you know, words and what have you on it. Yeah. And that's it. It looks like Pong. It looks like an advanced form of
sure
Pong.
Come with the car, and you just think that it's aftermarket because it's so funky looking.
No, it's an aftermarket because it's like a Kenwood or something. Because I have a Mercedes with a Blue Tech diesel, an ML350 that's got the Mercedes, and they use you know, there's a little more advanced looking. This is so basic. It's like, man. So first thing I'm going to do, by the way, is absolutely what you said. I want Apple CarPlay so bad. To me, if you're driving a motorhome, it's already distracting enough because there's so much going on. And you feel
Apple
like
CarPlay, that's for losers. How are you going to play your sweet cassettes, dude?
But you get a phone call. Your phone is probably, you know, falling onto the floor. God knows where. You got to reach for it. I think, you know, so that is absolutely next on my list is Apple CarPlay. A new head unit, man. I'm going to go to a head shop to get a head unit. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the new Nissan Altima. You want to check out autotrader.com. They got a whole lot more than just used cars for sale there. There's a lot of news and information, videos, and Brian Moody. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Kia doesn't have to be the oldest SUV maker around, because what they lack in the cautious restraint of age, they make up for with the gravel-pounding ambition of youth. Telluride, Sportage, and Sorento SX, part of the tough-and-ready lineup of SUVs from Kia, with fully active all-wheel drive, torque vectoring corner control, and forward collision warning. Kia, give it everything. No system, no matter how advanced, can compensate for all driver error and or driving conditions. Forward collision warning is not a substitute for safe driving and may not detect all objects surrounding vehicle. Always drive safely and use caution.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. We're part of Drive Tribe now. The Drive, Drive Tribe, two different things. If you don't know where that came from, Jeremy Clarkson from Top Gear started Drive Tribe. You can become part of his tribe, or Alan Taylor's tribe, or maybe Brian Moody should start a tribe from Auto Trader.
Boom.
There you
done.
Go. Brian, you're doing a great job here. I appreciate you. You're a friend of mine.
Really, like, get out my sick cassette tapes, then we'll see.
Hey, by the way, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually played a cassette?
Okay, that's a long time.
Yeah, right?
So this is as far back as I can remember. At one point around 2008 or something, or maybe 6, there were a couple cars that still had them, and I think I used to bust mine out and listen to them back then, because I don't know about you, but I made some pretty classic, you know, mixtapes, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, baby.
You're going to put AC/DC next to ABBA? Dude, you're insane. I did it.
Hold on. I got some music.
I have some of the ones that I used to, I don't know, they're just hanging around, and then you stick it in, and you're like, oh, I guess I used to listen to
The Emotions.
Triumph.
That's too funny. So, by the way, I started this show in 1992. Okay.
Wow.
Yes. I found a tape in a box in my garage from 1992, a cassette tape. And I was like, how do you play one of these things? Do you even have a cassette player anymore and anything? Well, I have a 2002 Jaguar that has a cassette player in it. 2002. So I popped
Wait,
it in there.
I know when I listen to cassette tapes. Okay. You ready for
this?
Yeah. In 2009, I had a job, and I got fired.
Yeah.
And the car that I was driving at the time was my grandmother's old Dodge Intrepid, with like, I don't know, 40,000 miles on it that I used to drive to and from job interviews, and I was freelancing doing video stuff for AOL or something like that.
Yeah.
And that had a cassette player, and I used to listen to cassette tapes all the time in that. That's mm-hmm. when it was. So 2010,
wow. yeah.
I was listening to cassette tapes. Boom.
Well, so in 2000, let's see, in 1992,
my voice sounded more like this. Hi, everybody. It's Alan Taylor.
It's like, what happens to us? You know, it's like, anyway.
All right. Now, Brian, why don't you go ahead and talk about that Nissan Altima?
Cal State Long Beach is what I was doing in 1992, just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Nissan Altima, I mean, listen, it's a car that's not dramatically unlike other mid-sized sedans, but it was redesigned in 2019. It's got a bigger touch screen, and it, you know, this is one of the cons, I think. I feel like they should have gone farther in terms of the styling. It doesn't look dramatically different than the previous ones, but it has this engine called the VC Turbo, and the VC stands for variable compression. So just think about this for a second. Anybody out there who's a gearhead, Alan, you know this, the compression ratio, right? Remember those muscle cars from the 60s and 70s? Some of them had like 11 to 1, 12 to 1 compression ratio. The higher the ratio of compression, the more combustion that's happened, the more power. But that also sucks fuel. So this Nissan has a variable compression ratio, meaning if you're cruising along, the compression ratio is one thing, say roughly 8 to 1. If you really hammer it and you really want to go fast, it can change that compression ratio through technology, and through on the connecting rod, there's a way that it can lengthen it or shorten it, and it can raise the compression ratio, giving you more horsepower, and of course the turbo kicks in too. I just love the engine. Like, the interior is nice. It's got a nice big touchscreen. It does have Apple CarPlay and some of those things. I just think it's the greatest thing that no one's talking about. Everyone's talking about hybrids and that kind of stuff, but this car can get pretty good gas mileage, 34, 35. We got 37 miles to the gallon on a recent road trip.
Wow.
And this is from an engine that has, let me check, 248 horsepower, around 250. Hopefully it hasn't changed since then. Decent horsepower, right? But also really good fuel economy. Mm. It's kind of like the best of both worlds. So VC Turbo in the new Altima is amazing. That's the pro. The con is I feel like they could have made it a lot cooler looking, because when you drive it, you actually think, this is a pretty cool car.
Well, you know, what's funny is I've heard about this, but I'm not sure why we haven't heard more about this. This sounds like it really is the next big thing.
Yeah, for sure. Here's the thing. When people make all of these predictions, right, about, oh, we're going to run out of fuel by 2010. Oh, oopsie, missed that one. When they make all these predictions, they can only make their predictions based on what's happening right now, right?
Right.
So when people 20 years ago, 30 years ago, made predictions about running out of gas, they could never have envisioned a car like a Camry or a Prius or an Altima getting 40 or 50 miles per gallon on a regular basis. And that's why, you know, these engines come along and you're like, ah, that's pretty killer. Mm. If, you know what it was good for? And I don't know if you like this or not. Do you like sleepers? Do you like cars that look one way and then kind of, are quick?
Yeah.
I love those. And that's what the Altima VC Turbo is. It's like a sleeper.
It
doesn't look like anything spectacular, but when you drive it, you're like, wow, this is a really nice car and quick.
All right. You can find out more about this at autotrader.com. The VC for variable compression turbo Nissan Altima. We'll take one more break and be back for our last segment with Brian Moody. Sneaking out the back door. Hang up with those
hoodlum friends of mine. Now's the time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because we're offering Dodge Power Dollars on the 2019 Dodge Charger and Challenger, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off your purchase. Roll out in a Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll take off in a Dodge Charger with available 485 horsepower. So come in to your local Dodge dealer now. See dealer for details. Offer not available on vehicle leases. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by 3/2/2020. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our show brought to you in part by Kia. And, of course, they have a full lineup of rough-and-ready Kia SUVs. Matter of fact, we're trying to find a Kia Telluride in white, dove gray leather interior with the that diamond quilt plaid, or what do they call that? It's like a diamond-shaped quilts in the seat. And black wheels. You can't find them. It's like every time you find one, oh, we sold it this afternoon. Anyway, congratulations to Kia for doing such a great job on that Telluride.
Yeah, I agree. And here's why I think it's so great. Because when you drive it back-to-back with other cars that are maybe even more expensive, you realize just what a home run it is.
Yeah.
It's just one of those cars that you get in and you think, wow, they knocked it out of the park. And I think one of the things that's really, contributing to its success, for example, I have a friend here and lives nearby, and his dad wanted one. Well, he couldn't find the one he wanted, like you were saying, couldn't find it for a reasonable price, couldn't find it to be available when he wanted it. So he drove from Georgia to Ohio to get one. He bought it, and he drove it back home. That's a good place for Kia to be.
Yeah,
people want
sure.
your car so bad. And I think one of the reasons is because of the boxy styling is a little bit retro, and it appeals to people like, you know, Gen Xers who kind of remember those early Land Rovers. And it has but with modern features and a nice interior on the inside. Plus, it's fun to drive.
By the way, when you were talking about your tech features for a new spring break road trip, blah, blah, blah. The one thing that we didn't mention that I think is also so dang cool, it's cooler than dang it, is the fact that today's vehicles have the, the backup warning system that'll actually apply the brakes and the same in the front. That kind of stuff is awesome.
No, Alan, you want the luck of the Irish. You just want to put it in reverse, back up, and hope for the best. You don't want the rear collision avoidance. Now, some cars, here, I'll tell you this, it's too sensitive. So as you back out of your garage, my garage, I have a two-car and then a small one-car. I park on the one-car side because I give my wife the bigger side because I'm nice that way.
Right.
As I back out the smaller side, if I have that engaged, it always stops my car as I back up. But I agree with you that to avoid an accident or to avoid someone getting hurt or backing over some kid's bike, it's good to have it.
I love that. I just think that's the greatest thing. All right, so as I'm about to go on my first journey in my new used motorhome, any final thoughts on things I should be doing while I'm driving down the road?
Yes, you need to come up with a road trip playlist. That's what you need.
Okay.
You need to come up with a road trip playlist, and I'm going to give you a few. All right?
Okay, I'm right.
I'm going to give you a few. These are free. I'm not even going to charge you for this. I'm going to give you The Sweetness by Jimmy Eat World. Great road trip song, all right? Sweetness is the good one.
Okay.
Shut Up and Drive by Rihanna.
Okay.
Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus. Highway to Heck by AC/DC. On the Road Again by Willie Nelson. And Road Trippin' by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Those are good road trip songs. And then at the end, you can always do Born to Run by Springsteen.
All right. I'm trying to think. You know, the problem is I don't want to play anything I played on the show. I didn't hear anything.
No duplicates. I didn't do London Beat or anything like that.
Because, you know, that ain't right. I just started that song. But here's what happens. If the wrong song starts to play, I actually do an intro, like, welcome back. And wait a minute, we're driving down the road. Hold on. So I got
to
be careful.
Jimmy Eat World, Sweetness is the best way to kick off any playlist.
I'm going to add that to my playlist here on the show. How's that?
Yeah.
Brian, you are the best. Brian Moody, executive editor.
Trip.
Yes, thank you. You can find out all these different topics we've been talking about at autotrader.com. Used pickups that are fast, tech features for your spring break road trip, and of course that very cool brand new Nissan Altima with the variable compression. We've all heard about variable valve timing, but now they've got variable compression. So that's all available at autotrader.com. Well, Brian, I'll meet you down at the dunes in about 3 hours, okay?
Be there.
All right. Brian Moody, autotrader.com. I'm Alan Taylor. Don't forget, check out Drive Tribe Go to the App Store, download the app, noodle around, join some tribes, start your own tribe. I'm Alan Taylor. See you next week, right here on The Drive.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.